Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we discuss the concept, history, and application of black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own societies based on freedom, justice, and equality. Our mission, and yours if you accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable solution for black people in America. Yes, this is the show where we discuss the when, where, who, and how of separation. We don't discuss what to do, because it's time to separate, and that's what we're getting ready to do. Tonight's show is, who will be the farmers of the future? Who will be the farmers of the future? Today's show will feature sponsors and participants of a recent health and agricultural summit that Dr. Richard and Sister Ann attended on November 24th. So, you know, a lot of times we aren't concerned about farmers. As long as there's food, we don't think about where it comes from. We don't think about who grows it. And a lot of times we don't even think about what's in it, as long as it tastes good and it's in abundance and it's cheap. Well, for those of us who care about longevity and health in the future of ourselves, our children, and grandchildren, we need to be concerned with who will be the farmers of our future. And to take the show on and to introduce our guest, I'm going to bring on Dr. Ridgely Mufmeen. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you well.
Okay, good. Praise be to Allah. Yes, we had invited me and Sister Ann were invited to be a part of an agricultural conference sponsored by the local organizing committee in Greenville, Mississippi. And we knew the people who were involved in it, and we invited them on the show because they really are doing some things in Greenville. Some of the things they can talk about, and some of the things I told them don't talk too much about until they get it done, because we don't want nobody interfering. We want to be like Jackson, Mississippi, get her done and then come and tell the whole story. But they can tell part of the story about what they've been doing and what are they up to, because it's very positive. And they're working with some the black farmers there in Mississippi on a real tip. So let's see. Do we have Brother Kareem online?
Well, right now, Brother Kareem, if you're on the line, press the 1 so that we can see, recognize your phone number and open the line for you. So right now, it's just you and I see on the line. But if it's anyone from Greenville, Mississippi, please press 1. And looks like he pressed 1. I'm going to open his line. Caller with the last 4 digits, 2247. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh. Wa
alaikum salam. This is Brother Larry here.
All right,
Brother Larry.
Okay,
yes.
let me make sure that
okay.
Everybody else, Brother Larry, Minister Larry, Brother Kareem, you got to press the 1. Press the 1 so that you will show up in the queue. So this is Brother Larry James, ex Jameson, right?
Yes, sir.
No, this is Brother Minister Larry.
Oh, it's Minister Larry. Okay, who else is on?
Brother Kareem.
Brother Kareem is on. Okay, who else is on?
Brother Larry X.
Okay, we got Brother Larry the farmer.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. We got 2 Larrys and 1 Kareem, right?
No.
Yes, sir.
Just 1 Larry.
But Mr. Larry, you're not on? I thought he said he was on.
I thought Mr. Larry was on.
I got Dr. Ridgely, I got Larry, and I got Kareem.
Okay. Minister
okay.
Larry, if you're on, hit the 1 button. You may have hit it twice and got off. So hit it again. Okay, in the meantime, the 3 brothers that I have on are Brother Kareem, who is the one of the leaders of the LOC, and the sponsor of the conference, Brother Larry X. Jameson, who is a farmer and was a part of the conference, and hopefully we have Minister Larry, the student minister in Greenville, Mississippi, who is actively involved with the LOC as well as with the farmers. So at this time with Brother Kareem, can you tell us a little bit about you, just a little bit, Brother Kareem, because I know you can talk. Just a little bit about you, Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. I definitely want to first and say foremost that I always give honor and praise to that one that we are and try to be servants of and supporters of, and that's the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. And for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Master Farah Muhammad, we always give honor and praise. For we serve under them. And I thank Allah for the opportunity to do that. Again, I also want to thank you, Dr. Wrigley and Sister Ann, for y'all coming down and filling us with so much information that was well needed and appreciated. The objective was to be able to bring some awareness to this community. Myself, I'm Brother Kareem Muhammad. I've been in the nation, all praise be to Allah, since 1972. Come out of St. Louis, Missouri. Came down here through the blessing of Allah during Katrina. I'm a FEMA certified coordinator. And I came down there up under FEMA and up under the instructions of Minister Akbar and Dr. Waheed. And so I've been down here ever since working, organizing. And I've been blessed to be a part of the LOC up under Minister, Student Minister Larry Muhammad here in Greenville. And we have now been successful, have over 5 chapters of the LLC operating in Mississippi and one in Little Rock, Arkansas. And this weekend with the health and agriculture was just one of the activities that we do, as the minister has taught us in the, up on the national agenda, have your town hall meeting, your information and outreach programs. And so this is in tune with what the minister has us to do.
Thank you very much, brother. I just wanted the introduction first so everybody can know who's on the line. Then we go back and start talking about the program. All right?
Yes, sir.
Brother
yes,
Larry, Jameson, are you on? Tell a little bit about yourself.
Yes, sir. Okay. I'm a farmer here in down Mississippi, South Extreme South Mississippi. I come here 1995. A purchase was made of the farm. I was living in the Atlanta area, and it was time for us to leave. That confirmed everything. And I didn't have any experience at farming per se, hands on. However, the time was right, so I come here and put my effort and energy towards this. And I had 20 years experience working as a tool maker. I looked back and said the next 20 years gonna be just like the 20 years in the future gonna look be just like the 20 years in the past. So what I did, I started somewhat an apprenticeship for training for a farmer. And the older farmers in the area taught me. When they saw my sincerity, they taught me. They got behind me. They was in the late 80s and early 90s. And I've been with this since then, and I'm going to stay with it. And I love it. And we I'm willing to support the nation, get behind what we're doing. You know, what the nation is doing
yes,
with the farm. Dr. Wrigley has put a tremendous, those who are not farmers, let me say this right here. When I went to that farm about 3 years ago, Muhammad's farm, I saw the effort that had been put into it. My wife was with me, and I stood beside her, and I looked at her, and I told her, tears come in my eyes when I saw the pain that had went into that. That's a tremendous amount of pain for what he had went through. What I was doing wasn't quite, I only had 40 acres I was working with. I was just keeping most of it cut. But he had put a tremendous amount of energy into it, and he's worthy of respect for what his efforts and work.
Crazy job.
Okay.
Some people take farmers. Man, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, brother.
Go ahead.
You're also the professional football player, but you say farmers is harder than that, right?
Say it again, brother.
Weren't you at one time a professional football player?
Oh, yes, sir. I did. I played with the Bears and the Saints. I was in their camp for a while. I didn't stay long, but I was there for, years of my life went into it.
So, but carrying that ball ain't quite as hard as carrying that hoe.
Well, let me say that hoe is that's tough. That's tough business. That's tough business. I don't know, Doc. Both of them pretty tough.
Yeah,
both of them. But yes, yeah, oh, yeah. But that you know, it's to me. I come to a conclusion with that. To be a truck crop farmer, that's a vegetable farmer, is on the equivalence of being an athlete. You know, I say to people more like a defensive back. You know. A defensive back, the smallest man on the field, he's the best athlete on the field. And his motto is, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So, you know.
But that you have to
yes,
have
sir.
The constant observation, constant. You can't just see a problem. You got to see it and fix it. So you're doing a great job by seeing your work on Facebook, and you're doing a great job there. Did the brother minister Larry get on yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
No one else, brother.
Okay.
Minister Larry, if you're on, press that 1 on your dial so we know to open your line. But the
he
only
may
ones
be in
that
the
I see are the,
Okay, he may be in the barber shop. He may be in the barber shop. So we just go. Oh, so now, Brother Kareem, back to you. And Brother Larry, anytime you want to intercede, you can. But Brother Kareem, back to you. Explain to us a little bit more about the agriculture conference and what we did and what y'all plan on doing after this.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother. Dr. Riggler again. And again, as we were saying about this weekend and how wonderful it was, but in talking about the objective of it, which was to come bring together a group of individuals in the agribusiness as well as the health industry, and to formulate a plan of action that from each one of those individuals, we are asking for a position paper. And we have recorders there that put down all the information from the town hall meeting, from the panel discussion, from the presenters. And each one of the presenters are then to present a position paper that we are going to formulate and put together, that when in December the 15th and the 16th at the economic summit, we would then, Dr. Rickley, that's why we invited you back, because we want to be able to present what we got out of the agriculture at the economic piece. Because along with that, then we have developed the same concept and formulate a position paper out of the economic piece. And then together we'll put that as a packet going into 219, talking about the economic aspect of
agriculture. You still there, Brother Kareem? Brother Kareem.
He went out.
Okay.
And that'll be here in Greenville, Mississippi. Yes. Can you hear me?
We hear you now. Just tell us. You went out when you're talking about the upcoming conference, Economic Summit. So can you talk about that a little bit again? Because you were out.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened, but yes. And we are saying that we connected the two, that once we come out of the Agriculture Health Conference, we're going to take the information from there.
Are you still there? Are you still there?
He's still connected. He's doing something with his phone. He's still on the line.
Okay, he's still on the line. I hear something in the background. Okay, Brother
yes.
Larry.
I'm sorry.
Until
I'm
he comes back online.
Can you hear me, Dr. Rickman?
I hear you now.
Can y'all hear me?
We hear you now.
Okay, yes, sir. I don't know what keeps happening, but
well,
go ahead.
Yeah, just tell, when is the conference? When is that conference?
December 15th. December 15th and the 16th here at Greenville, Mississippi. December 15th
okay.
and the 16th.
Is there a website or something they can go to?
Yeah.
A Facebook page, a website where they can go to and read about what it's going to be.
Absolutely, and that would be LOC Greenville MS Facebook page, or you can go local organizing committee, Greenville, Mississippi Facebook page.
Okay, repeat that again.
LOC Greenville MS Facebook page, or you could go up local organizing committee, Greenville, Mississippi, and it'll pop it up too.
Okay, so people can keep up with what's going on and know how to, you know, get there. Is there a fee involved?
The only fee is you're getting here and lodging, because you're going to want to stay for a couple of days because it's going to be so impactful. So it's the 15th and the 16th. But we will be having on the Facebook page as well and through the email, the hotels that we've been working with to give a package deal with the travelers that come.
Okay, great. Okay. So, Brother Larry.
Yes, sir.
So, what did you get out of this conference, and what are you looking forward to for the next one?
I got a lot out of the conference. A lot of what I got out of the conference is from talking to you at the dinner table at the restaurant, and some of the numbers you put together concerning manufacturing and farming, the ratio of money being made, you know, that was a definite eye opener. We need to look at value added, no doubt about it. And one of the brothers, Brother Gerald in Jackson, he has come up with used my garlic to freeze dry it. And
yeah.
I brought some home with me. I had an experiment with it and checking it out. Need a little work to it, but not much. So you know, we'll talk about some of the problems some ways to improve that. But I've been growing garlic for about 21 years, and I've learned to manage it. Always a problem each year. But for the most part, I learned to master it. I traveled to Guerrero, California to see the garlic fields, talked with garlic growers, and, you know, but the way to go is value. We need to come up with value added in most things that we can touch. You know, that way you're making money, and I can contest to that.
Okay, now I want to explain to you all what Brother Larry is talking about. You know, we want to get the young people in the agriculture. This is one of the reasons for this conference, and we have some young people there that want to get a husband and wife that want to go into farming. And I had to, there's a reason why people are not into farming. There's a reason why black farmers lost their land. There's a reason why white farmers are committing suicide. There's a reason why they're selling their land to China, because the returns on their investment is only $1.67 for every $100 they put in. Whereas
mm-hmm.
with retailing and wholesaling and manufacturing, you have between $12 and $14 return on investment on equity for those fields. So why should you invest $100? And equipment, supplies, the land, the tractors. Why should you invest $100 just to get $1.67? And so they have systematically destroyed the profitability in production agriculture and has run the people off the land into the cities. But what we found out here at Muhammad Farms, we decided in 2011 to get a flour mill. We had been taking our wheat up to a nice white farm about 70 miles from him, real nice man, but it was 70 miles to carry a loaded wagon of wheat breaking down on the road, okay? So the minister blessed us to go out and get a flour mill for the farm. So now we make our own flour, and we make our own cream of wheat. We call it cream of whole wheat, and we make Sister Ann's muffin mix. Now, with that, we can make 4 and 5 and 6 times the amount of money from that than from a bushel of wheat. So why sell a bushel of wheat and only get $4? But we can turn a bushel of wheat into 40 pounds of flour and get $35 for it. Does it make any sense to sell the wheat at $4 mm-hmm. Where you can turn it into flour and sell for $35. Well, the same thing with garlic. My man is selling, you know, producing garlic, great garlic and carrots and beets. But you know, it's hard to sell stuff to people who are not cooking. So you gotta, if you're gonna sell stuff to them, what's my main word I brought out? It's got to be what?
Easy. Easy.
You got to figure out how to for them to
That's
use
right.
your product. Any amount of effort at all, they copping out. They might do it one time, but they're sorry. That's why I brought up, you know, people in America so sorry that they can't even spit out a watermelon seed. They wanted, you know, seedless watermelon. Well, you're not going to change them. We can preach to change them, but we got to figure out how to get them, how to get that money. So we got to figure out what can we grow for them that's good, but then how can we transform it into something that's easy and tasty, not too expensive, being along with the same prices they're paying, but we're able to get the value out of it by processing it to another level. And our theme is from the land to the man, no middleman, all the way. You grow it, you process it, you ship it, you catch it on the other end, and you sell it to the retail, to the person. Okay? You can't get all the money in between to pay you and your family. And we established a co-op called Staple Goods Project Co-op that we're moving our flour and cream of whole wheat along with other products across the country. So that was the insight that I brought to the conference. And I didn't learn this in college. I have a PhD in agriculture economics, and they did not teach me this when I was in college. I had to learn this by being out here and seeing what was going on and start doing the numbers. And also the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, Volume 2, that we studied in the Ministry of Agriculture, started in 2010. We studied that book from cover to cover, and we learned how the Jews did it. They came right there to the Delta of Mississippi to get cotton. But they was already getting cotton in India and England and producing clothes and linen and selling to the people in Europe. They had a monopoly on the clothing industry and the linen industry in Europe. So they already had a market. So now they wanted to get it produced cheaper. We have done things backwards. We first go get land and start producing and then try and figure out how to sell it. But we learned from the Jews that, no, you want to lock down a market first. So now those of us who have land got to think in terms of not going and wholesaling it to a manufacturer or processor, or not even going setting up at farmers markets. You can do that, but don't just depend on that. You make you another product from that product, okay, that you can go directly to the consumer and get all that money, okay? Because the money is in retail of processed commodities, not wholesale of raw commodities. Yes, sir, I heard somebody trying to say something.
Yes, sir, and Dr. Rickler, that was beautiful. And that's exactly what the objective of the Agriculture Health Conference was to be, is that when we go into December the 15th to 16th, that information is to be presented at the conference, at the summit. And that way, then we start talking about industries and manufacturing there, and a formulation, a plan will be developed from that, along with the position that you just taken, but put in the position paper, and then we'll go into 219 being able to package that deal.
Right. And while the people are there, they can get a chance to get, eat some hot tamales from the hot tamale man and go to his restaurant, which is called Heaven's.
Hot Tamale Heaven. It's called Hot Tamale Heaven. And we will have over 25 black vendors there as well as a black expo, so we can allow our people to be able to spend their money with their black spend their black dollars with their black people. So we'll have vendors there as well.
Well, you know,
and
having the vendors there is not just so black folks can spend their money one time before Christmas, but so they can learn where they can spend their money from. The problem that the black producers and vendors have is that nobody know where they at. We don't have access to the TV and the radio, but the TV in particular, where people, I mean, you sit there and pay that money to look at television, and they are selling you something. For every 5 minutes of programming, they give you 7 minutes of advertising, one advertising after another, so that everybody know about their product. So how our people going to find out about ours? And one way of it, that we're going to do it there in Greenville is bring some people there together so they can meet one another, meet and greet, buy some product, and then make contacts.
And network.
And stretch this thing out. Right. Network. Let's stretch this thing out.
And Dr. Rickler, to add to you is that we plan on bringing in Freedom Paper. They're coming in as well. We're asking all the black vendors, especially across the region, that you got a black product. Call us at 662-577-1258, and let's bring in some of these black vendors so, like Dr. Rickley said, our people will know what we can produce for them. We got the brother coming out of Houston that he produces some of the baddest bread in the South. He's going to be coming up. So we're getting black vendors. We want Alabama to come in. You got somebody over there that's got some vendors, got some products. Come on over to Greenville.
What was the motivation? What was going on in your community, Brother Kareem and Brother Larry, that motivated you all to do this?
Well, it wasn't necessarily that as much as the Honorable Ms. Farrakhan is commanding us to create the LOCs. And we knew that up under his leadership and his word, we was not going to be able to pull the community together without doing it the way he gave us and instructed us to do it. So we began 8 years ago formulating the LOCs. And the LOC has been using the format that the minister gave us at the Holy Day of Atonement after 1995 about going in the community, starting the town hall meetings. And then once we formulated the National Agenda Manual, we start formulating it from there, doing grassroots organizing, advocating in the community. We got the 10,000 Fearless headquarters here where we do outreach programs. And so that has been allowing us the opportunity, and we always have our monthly town hall meetings. So we keep the community engaged and informing them. This year we've been working, if I may, on disaster awareness. And so we've been training the people all year on different aspects of a disaster awareness, where at the end of the year we're going to do a SERP training starting in January, where there'll be a team of us across the city that will be certified SERP trainers. Then we're going to do a mock drill in the community. Now we have a core group. We can start going in the community up under the 10,000 Fearless, but we're calling it the SERP team. Praise be to Allah. It's just by the minister.
Okay, that's the point I wanted to get back to right there. So in other words, you're just finishing up, continuing on what Minister Farrakhan started when he set up the LOCs in 1995. And then with the national agenda and the Million Family March and the Millions More Movement, where the Minister Farrakhan gave us instructions. And what you all have done is just take those instructions and instead of just talk about it, but actually started implementing it on the ground. And as I told you all, I was very proud in what you all are doing. And you are going to be the example for others to follow once you all really finish y'all act out. Because right now y'all are in the beginning, but y'all doing a whole lot. And I would advise the people to come to Greenville December 15th and 16th just to see what these brothers and sisters are doing. They're just not talking. They are walking it. And so because I really get upset with naysayers who say to the minister, don't do nothing but talk. And then it ain't his fault. All he's supposed to do is talk. But we are supposed to take what he says as an order and make his word bond and do it to shut up the mouths of the naysayers who want to talk against our minister because of something that we are not doing. It's not his fault. It's our fault because we do not follow through. We allow obstacles to get in our way. Some of the time it's our own foot that's in the way. I ain't saying cut your foot off if it's in the way, but move your damn foot out the way.
Out the way.
Of your own self. Just move. And so don't let another brother or sister stop activity. You work around them. You work over them. You know, we can't fight and kill one another, but we can love each other to death. Okay?
And work one another out.
And work it out. Okay?
Yes.
Everybody wants the same thing, but people just get a little shaky. You know, once you've been made a domesticated animal like the way we have, and somebody talk about master gone, they're going to leave you, you start getting shaky. You see them pictures with a dog, the master done left the dog started shaking and everything, and dog won't eat, you know what I mean? Because master gone, that's how we act, okay? So we get a little nervous when we talk about separation. Some people said we shouldn't even use the word separation. We shouldn't even say time to leave because we scare black folks. You know, well, we scare white folks because the white folks, though, they need us close to them so that the planes don't get them. Y'all know
that's
what I mean.
Right.
But black folks are scared to be with our white folks because we've been domesticated. They've taken away our skill levels. We used to learn a lot in high school. but we learn nothing in high school, nothing at all. And when you go to college, only thing you learn is how to fill out a resume. You don't learn anything about real business when you go to business school. You know, I mean, you got to get a master's to learn anything. You can't even get a job coming out of business, out of college with a business degree. You got to get a master's degree. It's all a game.
That's right.
Okay? But what you all are doing is, you know, it may not seem like it's a big deal, but you are following instructions. And that
yes,
is
sir.
A big deal. That's a big deal.
Praise
so does anybody else got any questions? Anybody online got questions?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Looks like we got our sister from the Time to Leave Movement, Sister Sharon. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Sharon.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton, and greetings to our two guests, Brother Larry and Brother Kareem. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I do have a question for Brother Larry. You mentioned that
yes.
you purchased land and that you actually didn't have any experience in farming. So I know you kind of
right.
touched on what motivated you to go on further, because sometimes we shy away from what we think we're not, you know, we're not equipped to do. But praise be to Allah, you went forward, because the messenger tells us that ownership of producing land is a prime and necessary part of our freedom. So that is, I really commend you and the brother for being pioneers in this march for freedom that we have to do. Brother, and tell me how do you work together with your wife? Because you mentioned she was a great partner with you in this initiative to purchase that land.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. No, I didn't purchase the land. It's our property. The way the land was divided up, I took the 40 acres and I keep the taxes paid on it. So it's, and I believe I can have it as long as I want to. Very, very rich soil. My wife grew up here. I didn't grow up here. It's about 100 miles north of where I'm from and where she's at. We didn't know each other until we went to college. Her father was and they are only thing they ever, the only occupation they ever had was farming. You know, he worked odd end jobs, but he mainly farmed. And I told him what I was going to do when I come here, and he said, no, 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 no. So I had to sell him down and let him know that I worked as a tool and die mold maker, and I couldn't in the automobile industry, and I stayed with that. And as soon as I come home, no work, 8 hours, I'm coming home into my garden, and I did a lot of reading, a lot of research, a lot of talking to people. And the older guys in the area, farmers in the area that used to wait, they more or less instilled themselves, their thoughts and ideas in me. I learned what they knew. They told me how. They would never tell me how if they wouldn't tell me why. So I learned a lot. I have a lot of information concerning row crop farming. And the reason why I chose farming was In the tool and die trade, I had a shop in Atlanta. I could never get it off the ground. Never could go. Always just little work here and there. I always had to have the white man's permission for whatever I do. So in farming and the skills that I have, I figured that I can eliminate having to have to go to him. They won't give you work, and they won't buy your product as a farmer. So I had to figure out something. It's been a tough journey. When I come here, it was during the time that the purchase of Muhammad's farm purchase was made. And when that purchase was made, it was going to take some time for that farm to get going. And I know it. It was going to take time for me to learn. I said, well, when that farm is up and going, by the time it get up and going, I would have learned to be a farmer. It takes 10,000 hours to become an expert at anything you're doing. Once you put the 10,000 hours in, done your apprenticeship time, your sweat and tears, whatever's going on with whatever craft you choose, after the 10,000 hours, you're an expert at it. You're a journeyman at what you're doing. So,
wow, that's a blessing. And that is a key to our unity, is each one teach one. And I just, this is phenomenal, and I really pray to Allah for all of you all's success. And thank you for coming on to explain to us and tell us what you're doing there in Mississippi. Thank you, sirs.
Thank you. Thank you.
And let me add to that about what Brother Larry. See, you got to be, if you're a hard worker and humble, you can get help. But the farmers, your neighbor's farmers will help you, but they got to see you trying. You just can't come to them with every little nick and penny problem and not have already tried to figure it out yourself, not going down to the extension office or not read up on it, looked at TV, you can learn everything on YouTube almost. But once you done what you can do and you can't go no farther, and you go to your neighbor farmer, he see you serious, he will help you, or she will help you. But
that's
they're not going to help you if you lazy. They're not going to be no fool for you. But if they see you serious, they'll take you under their wing. As a matter of fact, I told black farmers down here, I needed to help me because we didn't have no equipment when I first got here. So I asked them to help me, and I paid them for them to bust up this land so we can plant once we did get equipment. But I warned them. I said, now, you know if y'all help me, you know these white folks ain't going to appreciate it. So I just want to let you know they're not going to appreciate that you helped me, but they helped me anyway, and I stood with them, and they stood with me. You know what I mean? So,
wow.
But I was humble towards them. I didn't come down here arrogant. I may be arrogant
That's
to
right.
some people, but not to a farmer. I'm not arrogant to a farmer. I get respect for them because they're doing stuff that I want to do, and I did not know how to do. And I think, as a matter of fact, I used to teach farm management, which using computers at A&T. I even wrote software packages supposed to help farmers to make financial decisions. And I really thought that I could help black farmers until I got down here and tried this myself. And now I got to take my hat off to them for what they've been able to do all these years with all
That's
this
right.
crap against
That's right.
them.
That's
I'm
right.
against
That's
that
right.
same crap right now. But I got a nation backing me. All praise
That's right.
to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
But
praise
they didn't have no
Allah.
Nation backing them.
That's
they
right.
They didn't have no nation backing them. And
That's
so
right.
I had to take my hat off to them, and I'd like to thank the Nation of Islam and those who have supported the 3 Economic Savings Program, those who have brought products for Bahamut Farms, those who supported the Stable Goods Project. I thank you very much because it is rough out here, and we had to be an example to show our black farmers how to get up out of where they're at because integration destroys their markets, and the government destroyed the prices of their products, and now we're going to have to reestablish markets for them so they can have a decent price for their products.
And
so thank
Dr.
you, Brother
Redman,
Yes.
If I may, and to respond as well to what has been said, is that with me, Brother Kareem, my wife's auntie, we sit on like 98 acres of land. But, of course, because of my disability, I'm not farming none of it, but it's being farmed. So I'm constantly sitting here looking at my cousins out there farming for white folks. And so I know Allah put me here for a reason. My gift, it may not be farming, but as I tell Brother Larry and the rest of them, God gave me the gift to know how to organize and take it from the farm and get it to the people table. So that's my skill in it. So I sit and plan an idea of how to be able to one day be able to go to these black farmers and tell them what we want them to grow for us and be able to finance them with that. Then we can process our food and give it to our people. That is what we're working on the development stage to make happen.
Praise be to Allah. Anybody else on?
Praise be to Allah.
Not at this moment. Listeners, if you want to ask a question, if you want to get your question, we're down to the last 15 minutes. Please press that one, and you will be brought on the air immediately to answer your question or leave a comment.
Brother Larry.
We got
yes.
Sister Ann on the line.
Oh, okay.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann. Sister Ann?
Can't hear you, Sister Ann. You must be on mute.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Yes, sir. I heard Dr. Ridley call Brother Larry's name. I didn't know if he was getting ready to ask a question.
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, I was listening, and information is very good, and I will say that I thoroughly enjoyed the program in Greensboro this weekend.
Greenville,
Mississippi.
That's right.
The program was extremely well organized.
Crazy,
and it was very timely. Everything went very smoothly. I've never heard anyone give the understanding and meaning and the purpose of the LOC like I did there in Greenville. They really have a handle on what the LOC was organized to do and what they should be doing, and I applaud them for that. Very, very good program. And as Dr. Ridley said, it can be a model for others who have not done anything. For a lot of times, we have people are doing what others should be doing, but instead of looking to them as someone who can guide the others, we all start stumbling around trying to figure it out when somebody already has figured it out. But the other thing I want to say about trade and commerce and services is that what we have to start looking at now is not trying to so much, and I'm not talking about this group. I'm talking about things I hear other businesses, people are trying to go into. Not too many people look at trying to serve, but we need services as well as products.
Yes.
I say that because many times we'll be using a product ourselves and like it and automatically think that's something we can sell to everybody else. But sometimes we got to go a little bit farther. We got to get beyond just being a middleman for the giant producers of products. And we've got to start being the producers of more of what we need and use as a people. We've talked about, Dr. Rizzo has talked about growing cotton. I mean, there's so much that can be made from cotton. We need some of our young people, and we've got to start talking about more of the things in the agricultural arena that our young people can do. All of them are not going to want to be vegetable farmers or row crop farmers.
Right. That's
but
right.
But everything
that's
comes
right.
from the land. And
that's
we've got
right.
to find
mm-hmm.
a way to get them interested in some aspect of producing. Because, you know, I look at a program, and I'm going to wind down with this. I look at a program on PBS called, it's this man who sponsored a trip around the world, and we always take these people, a group of crafters, and they learn how people in different countries make the various things that they have. Maybe in India, learning how they make their dyes from vegetables. You know, we don't think that deeply. We look at what's already out there and figure out, well, how can I get a little piece of that and start selling a piece of that? Versus thinking outside of the box and saying, well, nobody's doing this. Maybe if I do this, then it can be something I can make people gravitate to. I can see a need and try to fill that. And I mentioned those vegetable dyes because I was reading another book recently, and a lot of the other countries, India, China, they still use a lot of natural dyes made from vegetables. I heard Brother Larry growing beets. And, you know, beets are used as a coloring for cloth and fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to start now getting our young people to look at different things and say, you need to do some research on that and figure out a way to get them to start some kind of program where we can have apprentice programs, not just in this country, but in other countries. I read in a magazine about a year or two ago where this young white female went on a went to India on vacation. I believe it was India. But while she was there, she had a pair of shoes made, and she stood there while they made the shoes. What she did when she came home, she kept in contact with the person that made the shoes for her and ordered other shoes. And she became friends with that person and asked them to teach her what they knew. So she saved her money and went back on another trip, learned the skill, and now that's her business. So this is how we have to begin to think. Not just go somewhere where somebody is already producing something and you buy some of that and come back and sell it to me. And, you know, that's good, but we got to get beyond that. Thank you
so much. Can I quickly say this, if I may, and respond to what Sister Ann is saying, and that the objective of the agriculture economic piece of Sister Ann, as well as Dr. Rickley, we need what you're saying to be put down on a paper, a position paper, so we can present this at the economic piece. This was serious what we're saying. This is exactly what's supposed to came out of the agriculture piece. But now we want to present it to a group, a body, a core group of financial investors, as well as thinkers, a thinking industry, national and international, and move forward. So we need that. If you would, by the 10th, have something for us, Dr. Rickley and Sister Ann and Brother Larry, out of what came out there.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Praise. Thank you. Thank
you.
Thank you.
To work. You can shut up now. You can put us to work.
You got the email, the outline already, Dr. Rickley, in your email already. We sent it to you.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I didn't come to be put to work, but I guess I got to. Throw my weight on the mule. Just throw my weight on the mule. He'll carry it.
Now you just pull something out of that work you already did and put it together, and send it to him.
Okay.
That's what praise be to Allah.
So is anybody else? What I was trying to ask Brother Larry is, have you seen any improvement in black folks in terms of trying to eat right and will to pay the right price for the food to eat right? Have you seen any progress?
No, sir.
I wanted to hear something positive about that.
No, it's still like it was. The garlic, those who are conscious, those who are buying the carrots, or those who are conscious of the carrots and beets, the juice, what have you. Those who are growing, they're buying the leafy vegetables from me. They just buy them, mess them up with pigtails and well. I've been seeing too much change. They like the idea. They love it. They'll buy from you once or twice just to patronize. But I haven't been seeing a whole lot of change in that part.
There was a young brother there.
I think if
he's going into. I'm sorry?
Great. If that's here in this rural area. If I was in a metropolitan city, it might be a little different with the superfoods that I have, garlic and the beets and carrots, what have you, like that. That might do something to be a little different. Because there are people with education that look to do better with their eating. They might purchase it. I know they will. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, in the cities, though, I tell you, black folks, they go to Whole Foods, and you can't tell them nothing, right? But
I forgot about that.
Amazon done bought Whole Foods.
Sure has.
Right? And so all that. The Amazon
with GMOs.
$1. Just right, they were GMO, baby. They go
that's right.
GMO,
that's right.
And they go
that's
cut
right.
corners.
That's right. That's
so
right,
I'm sorry,
bro.
Y'all.
That's why they bought it.
But
that's right.
That's right. So, you know, we're going to have to produce products that the people like,
yes,
and value added that they'll pay for it because it's easy. Then we just trick them into eating good. Go ahead.
If I may, Dr. Wrigley, down here in the Delta, the people are orientated to crop food. They used to that. What we have to do is, like you were saying, and Sister Ann is saying, is think on a larger scale of mass producing that to our people. They are prime today. This world is developing everything that we need for us to go ahead on now and claim our people. But we have to be able to offer them what the messenger left for us to give to them at this time. They ready for the fresh vegetables and stuff, but we have to package it the way the white man has psychologically trained them, what you've been teaching us, Dr. Rick.
I disagree. They don't care how you package it. If they got to cook it, they don't want it. That's why we got to cook it first. Look, my wife was invited. Listen very carefully. My wife was invited to this big church, and by a young lady that wanted us to bring in our food basket, harvest basket. So for $25. So we were explaining. My wife was showing them the products, even showed them how to cook the rice and cook some other things. And she went in that church, in the kitchen to get something to wash some vegetables. Come to find out, they didn't have a stove in the kitchen. Brand new kitchen, no stove. Okay, and then at the end of the presentation, the sister who invited her to come said, "I would love to get $5 a food basket, but could you cook it for me?" you can't make this up, man. You can't make this up, man.
I agree with you.
She's the one who invited us to her church. He's the one who invited us to her church to promote the food basket. And at the end of the presentation, she said that she wanted to get some every month as long as we cook it for her.
And on that note, Dr. Richard, we're down to the last 2 minutes.
Okay. So, Brother Larry and Brother Kareem, y'all have anything y'all want to close out with?
You know, with me, just briefly, once again, December the 15th and 16th, Greenville, Mississippi, the Black Expo and the Economic Summit will be going on, workshops, training, black vendors, and, of course, one of our special guests will be Dr. Wrigley and his wonderful queen, Sister Ann. We hopefully see you there, December 15th and 16th.
Okay, Brother Larry?
Well, I don't have anything in particular to say. I guess I enjoyed the weekend. I needed it. It's something I needed to get away from the farm and be around other people. I had a great time, you know. Looking forward to December. Yes, sir.
And in the future, Brother Larry, we're going to have to hook some young people up with you so you can train them in the tool and die making in the future.
Absolutely.
You know, some type of mentorship.
Yes,
they got to pay you, though. But, you know, we got to have all those pieces because, you know, in Cuba was able to keep their vehicles going for 60 years now because they make their own parts.
That's right.
And
they
so
make their own parts.
We're going to have to learn how to do that if we go be independent. So you got your skills. Farming is great, and also your skills in terms of tool and die making is something that we're going to need in the future to train our young people so they can learn how to do something other than sell drugs and sell their body.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right. That's right. I agree with that. Strongly agree with that. You can't be a nation if you're not yourself being a nation if you're not manufacturing, you know, don't have a machine shop. That's how the North beat the South. They had machine shops.
Y'all hear that? We got to have machine shops, y'all. They took all the manufacturing out of the country, sent it to India, sent it to China, sent it to Mexico. We're going to have to build the manufacturing industry right here in America,
right.
And which we black folks
that's
is
right.
going to do it. Y'all got that?
Let me say something right quick. By me being a tool maker, one thing I was taught in the class was when the automobile industry make a change to going down or going up, it affects it in the entire country. But the automobile industry right now is laying off. I don't know what's going to happen, but they're laying off.
The minister has told us what's going to happen.
Yeah, this is the fall of America. I just heard today.
That's right.
That even the electric cars, the electric car manufacturing part of Chevrolet of GM is closing down.
Wow.
Yep, I heard that today.
15 seconds.
We're gonna have to figure out how to design and build our own car. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam, sir.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me?
Oh, it's nothing good up in here.
Out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel.
Uh-huh.
Not just my fair tire.
Oh.
But Lord, I ask you to be my force and truth.
Oh.
For some strange reason it had to be.
Oh.
He guided me to Tennessee.
Oh. Take me to another land. Take me to another land. Make me forget all.
Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries.
Woo!
Fast eyes burn into rhythm.
Uh-huh.
Where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the roads my forefathers walked. Climb the trees my forefathers hung from.
Mm.
Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peace Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. Why my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry.